Man, listen, at the end of the day, we gotta talk about shit. If you don't talk about the shit, you won't deal with the shit. You gotta cope. A lot of us cope negatively, some positively. But you gotta talk about it. And talking about it sometimes opens up the window to just get through it and realize you're not the only one. Thou must cope. This series is called How Do I Grieve? I just wanted to come up here and set the expectations for this series up front, to be completely honest. It's going to be some very touchy stories, possibly even triggering stories, but they're authentic. Like, to be completely honest, we're going to discuss coping with the death of someone who committed suicide, coping with the death of a parent, and also even coping with the death of, like, a lover. And I felt like this was very important to talk about because I feel like people don't often discuss these things and the impact it has on you afterwards and what grieving actually looks like. So I just wanted to set the expectation to let you all know that I do understand that this can be a dark subject, and typically I don't go this deep. And so what I will be doing is breaking this up through Podmas. So I'm not going to drop multiple grieving episodes at a time. So if you see, you know, part one come out on day one and then part two come out on day three, and you know, just be patient. I just wanted to place a barrier there. So wherever you are in the series, just know that I placed it this way on purpose to allow people that space to not hear something dark over and over or be triggered. So stay tuned and thanks for listening. Growing up, what was your relationship like with the loved one of yours that passed?
Wow. I spent most of my time with my father growing up because my mother had traditional, like, 9-to-5 as far as work schedule goes. My father worked at our family's business, so he was able to be home with us, or we can just go with him after school and all of that. And, you know, during the summer and stuff, you know, my mom would go home, we would be out, we would just always be with him. Like, we were never separated, to say it in the least. Like, there was never a separation. Like, the only time there was a separation was going to school, you know, like, literally, like, that's it. Like, he would get up and come and sit at the bus stop with us until the bus came, and then no matter what, he was there when the bus came back and just stuff like that. So there was no separation. It was fantastic. It's like, all I just, like, you know, I guess when you brought up into that, that's all you know. So I just thought that was just like a normal part of the day. And then when my mama did get off work and come home and stuff, he would go back and finish his work and then he'd just come home. So I think that answers the question. There was no separation. There was no, you know, it was lots of learning, lots of just all the essential important things that you would want to give your child if you had the privilege of being there all the time with your kid.
And, you know, that's something a lot of parents don't have the privilege of doing. Like you're saying, like, your mom having that typical type 9-to-5. Most parents aren't able to be physically there as much, and not in a negative way, but literally got to pay the bills, got to work, got to do what they got to do to make sure that children are good. And so, like, would you say that because of him being there physically more, that made you a daddy's girl, or you were closer with him because of that?
Oh, yeah, man. Absolutely. Definitely. Because I got one sister. We were definitely daddy's girls. It didn't make us less close to our mama. But, you're naturally going to be, you're going to have that more, you're going to have more of an intimate relationship with the person you're going to have to be with all day, every day. The person you're going to have to, you know, it's the person that's just basically just raising you in all your free time and all their free time.
Nah, definitely so. I didn't.
Come on, man. Come on. It's been 4 minutes, man.
Well, for me, it was kind of interesting because I had a father that was in. I had a father. I mean, he's not in the military. Okay. My father was in the military. My mother was a stay-at-home mom for the most part of my life. She did work, but being that he was like the breadwinner, and then I ended up having a little sister. Even my mom had a job. She had a little job, like a little retail job or work at the gas station. Like, you know, just bringing in some extra income stuff. So I was really with my mother for majority of my life, but I was still close to my father. But I don't know. It was just weird because my mother, she had that whole, like, I'm sick of these damn kids thing going on. Like, I'm with these kids. I'm with them all day. They driving me crazy or whatever. So, like, when I would see my dad was the, oh, your mama said you can't have this. Okay. Da, da, da. So, it was just like, yes, my daddy home or whatever. But I could definitely see how you had that going on, being able to have, like, a really active father. And, I, you know, typically the girls be daddy's girls anyways and the boys be mama's boys. So, like, to be able to have that close-knit relationship there and really feel the presence of him, I could only imagine like the magnitude. And so with that being said, which you've kind of already gone into, but if you would go deeper into it or like take a different avenue, it doesn't matter. Could you walk me through your childhood up until when your father passed with him? That could be like his parenting styles, you know, some experiences that y'all had together, anything to give the audience a feel of the true type of upbringing you had with your father.
Okay, cool. So, my father and my mother, I feel like maybe this is like a prelude just so people could have more of an understanding of the dynamic of the relationship. My father and my mother met when they were teenagers in Norfolk in Virginia. So not like 14, 15, like adult teenagers, like 18 and stuff like that. Actually, my mama was 18. My daddy was 16. And my mama was going to Norfolk State. And my daddy came in there with his best friend looking for a job. And she was the manager at the Burger King. I don't think I said they was at Burger King. I don't know. But she was the one who hired them or whatever. And you know, working for a couple of years while she was at Norfolk State. After he turned, he lied about his age. He said he was 19 because he was just like so tall or whatever. So it was just like, you know, whatever. Nobody really, whatever. But like he lied about his age to get with her. And she was like, yo, you want to be with me? You need to at least go get your GED. And that's exactly what he did. And they was together after that. So we wasn't even thought of, well, I wasn't even thought of until like late 20s or whatever, late and mid 20s. But I was born in Portsmouth. My parents was just always there, always together. I remember even just being really, really young. Like one of the things we used to do together was like play video games back when I cared. I figured, you know, maybe I would still like them, but no, not really. But play video games together. Like this was before, you know, school ages and stuff, or sit, and he would just like, I remember like being on the exercise bike. He taught me how to box. My sister was real little then, because we are about 3 years apart almost. I don't know, man. It's just like everything that you could really think of, we actually did together. He told me everything. He would show me stuff. He would read me stuff. He would just take the time out to explain literally every little thing and every little detail about just stuff that you wouldn't think as a kid would be important, but you grow up and you realize like, oh man, like I remember my daddy told me about this, or he told me about, you know, whatever was happening. We'll get into that in a few minutes. But basically all those building blocks that you needed. I remember I knew how to multiply and divide and everything by the time I went to school, because he was really hard on being right, being accurate, and being educated. I knew how to read. I knew how to write. I knew how to do everything before I even went to school, because we had 24-hour parenting pretty much. It wasn't like going to daycare or going and being dropped off at somebody's house. So that was when I was like real, real young. And then, you know, by the time you go to school, it becomes more intense and stuff. And I just remember we did all the family holidays together. Every holiday, like my mama would decorate. We would always do everything. Birthday parties would just be like big and extravagant, because, you know, that's the time for parents to show off and stuff. Family events. We went on vacation every year. And even after he passed away, we still went on vacation every year after that. I don't know, man. It's just like, I could really do this forever. Just so much of those just like building and I don't know, man, lessons and stuff. And then like, he taught me how to swim. That's like one of the first like real hands-on activities. I was like 3. I remember that, because my grandma had a pool for the family. It was huge. And he taught me how to swim, ride bikes, just do all the fun things as well as all the parental things. I know when we had stuff to happen to like other family members, like, fuck it, I'll just go there. Like when one of my aunts was going through relationship problems with her husband, I remember being like 7, and my daddy was just asking us like, hey, if me and your mama broke up, who would you want to go live with? And we just sitting there like, we don't know. Like, I don't know. I remember saying, I don't know. Like, I don't want to pick. And he was like, well, you don't have to worry about that, because I'm never leaving. So just stuff like that. I don't know, man. It's just really any and everything that you can think of, just because we had 24-hour parenting. And even stuff just like going to the grocery store as a family. Like, we did everything as a family. So, you know, regular, normal childhood. He put us in the church. They ain't go to church. They went on. That ain't funny. They went on date nights and stuff like that. When we would go to church with my grandma and stuff, and then they would bring us back home. And just a regular, we was on a schedule, a routine, teaching as I go. But then, you know, your kids is getting older. Nothing changed. Everything was more, you know, it just became more detailed as we grew up. Even as an 11-year-old, as a 12-year-old, like, I still got my daddy coming to the bus stop with me. It wasn't no doing nothing by yourself. There wasn't no going off and being with family members like that, unless I could really trust them. But then I was in 6th grade, because I remember I stayed out of school for a week when he passed away. Like, my mama had, it was April like 7th or something like that. It was like April 7th. And my mama had noticed, like, even like she said, she noticed that like a week, like something wasn't right. She felt like something wasn't right. Something was just like off. He wasn't being himself. He wasn't, he would like stay out all night, and he never ever did that. So she was just like, I was just crying, because I didn't know like what was going on. On the 7th, yeah, it was the 7th of April of 2005, she said she walked into the room and she noticed he had got real skinny. Like, and she was like, oh no, like, and she's like, his pants had fell to the ground. And she was like, oh man, like, no, you got to go to the doctor today. I'm making you an appointment. And she said she called her doctor and made an appointment. And I stayed home that day. so I could go with him. And it was just, she requested an MRI. They never gave it, and that's a whole nother story. But that was the 7th. We came home, and it was just like, I mean, he wasn't fine or nothing like that. He was still kind of sick. Then on the 9th, at noon, he had passed away. And I remember, like, I remember this was right before he had passed away. Like, he was still alive when I had went into the room, and I was like, can we get a Pop-Tart? And he was like, yeah. And we had went downstairs, but then we had came back upstairs, and I saw him, like I saw him actually pass away. Like, I was just standing there, because I'm just like, I don't know. Like, I'm 12 years old. Like, I don't know what's going on. Like, I don't know what this is, but I know this ain't right. And he was like taking his last, like he was like choking or something, like taking his last breaths. And then you could see like the bodily fluid running out his nose and out his mouth. His eyes was closed, but he won't move it, and he won't. He was a big dude, and I could see that he wasn't breathing. And I just got like nervous, and I just went downstairs and I sat on the counter, and I told my sister, like, just don't go upstairs. My mama had got home like 12:30. And then that's when like I knew, but that's when it was like, call the ambulance. And it was just a shit show from that point. Then she called the ambulance. Then she called his siblings, because they were supposed to come over because he was sick. They was supposed to come to the house to see him or whatever. And yeah, that was just really the day that changed my life.
That's so traumatic. Like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry that you had to experience that. And like, especially like, don't get me wrong, anyone passing can be traumatic. And you know, it's never like, oh, okay, cool. But to have such a close relationship with someone and then watch things just literally flip upside down in such a small time frame, not necessarily knowing what's wrong, but it's like, okay, he's acting a little different. And then literally, hey, can I go get a Pop-Tart? And I come back, and basically, I know that you're dying in front of me, but I don't want to accept that. And I don't really know if this is what this looks like, but I know that this shit is not good. Like, that's so scary. And then for you to have, like, at that moment, not had an adult there. So it's like, you literally just witnessed this on your own. Like, that's scary and traumatic as fuck. Like, I just, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. And like, you really answered my next question, because my next question was going to be, could you walk me through the day that you found out or the buildup? And so then I would furthermore want to ask you, how did this change you as a person?
You know, like, I think age is significant with stuff like this, because your age can really, wherever your mind is, I'll say, like, wherever your mind is at, it can really like determine how the rest of your life could go. I was 12, my sister was 9. So like, all I've ever known was every day of my life being with my father. Literally 80% of my days on school days, and 100% of my days, just like, we would go to work with him during the summer, like every day. And he would teach us, you know, how to do the stuff that he was doing at work and stuff. So it's just like, to wake up and the first day, it was just like, this is not real. Like, this cannot be real. Like, this is never real. This is not real right now. And then every, like, I remember the next day, it was just really, I couldn't even sleep. Like, I didn't know. Like, I was in shock. That's definitely the words for it. Like, I was really in shock. And I didn't know, because, like, I was paranoid, because I thought my mama was going to die, too. Because I never thought that my father would die. So, yeah, I don't know. Like, it really just turned my mind into the devil's playground. Like, I didn't know how I was going to go on. I wasn't suicidal or nothing. I ain't complain. I just really wasn't. I don't know. Could I say I really wasn't feeling it? Like, it's just like, I didn't know. I was lost. Cause it's just like, what do I do now? Like, I never had to do nothing for myself. I never had to go through. I never had to apply any of the things that he ever told us. It was all like precautionary tales of like, you know, if you get into this kind of situation, do this or do that or do that, or don't make these kind of decisions. So it's like, it fucked my mind up. To summarize that, it fucked my mind completely up, because I remember for years I couldn't even eat. Like, I had a swallowing problem. Like, I was paranoid of choking. For some reason, I developed a paranoia for choking on anything, and it was just so hard to swallow that I just didn't eat most of the days, because I couldn't, like, nothing would go down. I just couldn't do it. My sister, like, it fucked her up so bad. Like, she couldn't go upstairs in our house for years. So she would sleep downstairs in the living room. Or she could go up, but she would have to go up with me or go up with my mama. She couldn't go up by herself because his side of the family, you know how old black church people are with their fucking ghost tales and all that shit. And it really fucked her up. It to the point where she used to have to use the bathroom in a bag in the trash can in the kitchen and throw it in the dumpster outside. That's how bad it was. She couldn't go upstairs.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, it was really like, it hit us both in crazy ways. And just imagine like my sister being that young, having more of that alone time. Cause a lot of the days I would be having to go to school cause we was that far apart. We was like 4 school years apart. So by the time I got to middle school, she was going to elementary school. Excuse me. So it really, it tore my mind up. It left me just really confused about life and really just being like, why me? You know, like, what did I do? Like, what, like, why is this happening to my life? Like, I didn't mention this, but this was like my mama's first boyfriend. So she never even had another man before being with my father. So it really threw us all through something crazy. Like, I never stayed at the house by myself because my mama still had to go to work. I never stayed, like, I never had a house key. I never had a cell phone or nothing before this. So it was really like, wow, like, this is a lot.
I feel like it's just such a transition, and to be so young when something like that is taking place, like even you saying that like you couldn't really swallow and just having a fear of choking, it's like the experiences that we go through, you never know how they're going to affect someone, and especially a child. You know, like one of the obvious things that people might have thought is like, oh, you know, they might not want to ever fall in love because they'll be scared of this. Or you saying like, you know, the fear of losing your mother. Like, that's one of those like, oh, no brainer. Like, okay, that comes with it. But like, who would have known that y'all would be traumatized to the point where it's like, okay, I can't swallow because I'm scared to choke. My sister don't want to go upstairs because that makes her uncomfortable. Now she willing to sleep downstairs, go to bathroom downstairs, whatever she got to do to avoid it. Like, that shit really fucks you up. Mentally, emotionally, physically, can change your whole fucking life. And don't nobody tell you how to bounce back from this shit, nor do anybody know how to bounce back from this shit. Like, it's like nobody can tell you, okay, well, just take this time and, you know, with time it'll just, no, you don't fucking know. Like, I'm fucking confused. I understand what happened, you know, I'm processing what happened, but I don't know where to go from here. And it literally can change your whole fucking life. Like, the fear of losing someone after you lose someone close to you will have you maneuvering so fucking different. Like, you could have been the most evil motherfucker, and then it's just like, you know what, I'm finna tell everybody I love them, I'm finna hug everybody because I just don't know when I'm gonna lose anybody. Like, you just can move so cautiously after something, and nobody prepares you for these things. And I feel like for me, it's kind of fucked up because I feel like nobody can prepare you. Nobody can tell anybody how to mourn. Nobody can tell anybody how to grieve, how to process it. It's no step-by-step manual. You literally just have to roll with the fucking punches, and that's fucked up.
And it also doesn't help if the situations around you are fucked up already. Like, my parents can protect me from whatever my parents can protect me from. But how do my parents protect me from the rest of this world or the rest of these people in the surrounding situations when they're not there? You know, my family wasn't really, you know, people talk a lot of shit when everything is going good, right? But when it's really time to get in the game and do something, it just, they didn't show up. I got one aunt for real. Like, the other ones, I guess I'll give them, nah, man, you ain't getting no credit because you didn't do shit. Fuck y'all. I got one aunt who I didn't really expect to step up the way that she did, who really stepped up and actually stuck to her word. Like, you know, just because he gone, these still my nieces, you know? And trying to make it work with these other people who wasn't really feeling you before when he was alive, wasn't really treating you right before because they jealous of children. Who, what sane adult would be that way? But now it's just like, there's nothing there to keep me in these terrible relationships with these people who don't like me. And I know they don't like me for whatever reason, you know? So on top of, I'll just go ahead and call it like a developed mental disorder. Cause now you are, your whole life done been flipped upside down. You're going to have to deal with your family who they grieving too, but they already got something against you. So it's just so many different facets of it. It's really crazy.
Definitely so. And you know, I think something that's so common in the African American, Black, whatever you want to call it, family is death causing a even bigger separation, or causing motherfuckers to be fake. Like, somebody die and then somebody come out the woodwork acting like, you know, I always been here for you and da 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 da. Like, bro, you never gave a fuck about me. Don't keep it hot. Keep it fucking hot. Or even, you know, people really showing who I'm they really you. Are. Like, we're fucking children. You know, although you're grieving, I'ma give you that, but you need to hold me up. I'm a fucking child. I don't understand death like you understand death. I cannot process this, and you just gonna let me be out on the wayside and be like, oh, she'll be all right. Like, what the fuck type shit is that?
I wanna propose this though. Like, now that I'm 28 and I've had a decade plus to like just, I'm still processing things to this day. I just had to cut some old niggas off like the day after Thanksgiving. But I want to propose this. Like, we know what our father meant to us. Like, I always say that your parents are the first gods you know. Like, when you come to, all you know is your parents when you come into this world. You don't know nothing else. When you coming up, all you know is your parents. You don't, if you got good parents. And even if you don't have good parents, all you know is your parents. So what if what our father meant to us, he meant to them. And I see that because I don't think they had, I can't even say I don't think, I know they didn't have the strong masculine lead that they needed. And even though my father's the youngest out of like five or six, he was the youngest child. He was the alpha male of their life. Even if that is just your brother. Even if that is just your uncle, even if that is your cousin, y'all don't have no examples of what good stand-up men are. So this is the person that you turn to because this is all you would know as far as good stand-up men, because your fathers wasn't shit. The men you pick aren't shit. Like, you know, so I feel like that's where the jealousy would come, what came in from. But I mean, I don't understand an adult being jealous of a child. No way. But I feel like that's where the jealousy would come from. And then more disdain and contempt after the fact, because you can feel however you want to feel. You will never, even with my grandmother, you will never know what it's like to come from this person. Like I had mentioned to my grandmother, he came through you. We came from him. It's not the same. The love is not the same type of love. That's all we knew. This person created us. That person came through you. Yeah, you know, half of you or whatever you want to call it. But I don't know. It's just different types of dynamics. Like, one of my cousins likes to say that she was the favorite niece. Got hella nieces, right? One, that's not true. But why would you want to put that into the atmosphere like that, you know? Why would you want to cause a rift and cause tension between other people who might feel a type of way, whether it's true or it's not true? And I tell that, and I tell her, like, it's not true. And I also tell her that I don't care. You will never have what I have, which is, that is my father. That's just your uncle. You can love a nigga all you want to. He ain't got no favorites now. So
that was fucked up. But that was so fucked up. Oh my God.
I gotta keep it real. Like, you're nobody's favorite now. So it's like, my thing is, even with my mother, these other women, I don't want to shit on them like this, but I have to be honest about it. These other women, you are not held as the same regard as my mother, because if he liked women like you, he would have picked women like you. Point blank, period. You know who you want to have your children by. That's the most important decision that a person will make. Fuck talking about when your significant other died and you left with kids. That is the most important decision that you're going to make, is who you pick to spend your life with. Because imagine picking somebody who didn't give a fuck about the mental health of your children after you passed away, who didn't give a fuck to take care of your children, who just dropped them off somewhere or gave them to somebody else or did something. You know, anything could happen when you don't pick the right person to share your life with. So just it's all type of stuff that goes into the pot. But one thing I don't have to do is compete for what I already know is in stone. I don't have to compete for the love of the person who created me, because the love was shown. I don't have to go around telling you, hey, my father loves me. You can see that by how great my life turned out. You can see that with how good we do, how we're still sustaining, how we still can use the lessons that was given to us as children. So I I'm just saying.
You know, and that's a good point, because that's exactly what the hell that shit be turning to. Like, it literally turns into a whole, it literally turns into a whole, oh, well, I was the favorite. I was this. Why do any of that shit matter, my guy? Why? Why does any of that matter? Like, right now, I promise you, that is not what's most important at this moment. Like, it's not at all. And I'm sorry if you feel like it is, but like you saying, like, why would you be so fucked up to be throwing that shit in somebody's fucking face at the time that we're going through? Even if you were the fucking favorite, right now everybody's fucking hurting. You can favorite that shit in your head and know that's why you're feeling the way you're feeling, but you don't got to create that fucking division between everybody right now. We're mourning.
Especially being an older cousin. Like, it's not like, because we got a lot of cousins. My grandma had a lot of kids and a lot of, like, extended whatevers, but like, you older than us by over a decade, you know? Damn, if it's not a decade, it's over a decade. I'm telling you, like, and so it's just like, who wouldn't think they're the favorite when they're of legal drinking age, when everybody, all the other kids is running around going to the ice cream truck, like 6 and 7, and you 21. You know, we 10 years old, you 22 years old. Like, of course you get to hang out with the adults. You're grown now. You know, so it's just goofy shit. I don't like all of that. I feel like, especially when there's children involved and people's lives have to continue to go on because, like, nobody gave a fuck to call my mama and ask if she needed this or she needed that, aside from maybe a couple of people. Literally, I could count on one hand. So it's like, and these are people who live in fucking walking distance. These are people who live 3, 4, 5 minutes away. So I don't know. It's just like, you know, I ain't with all that. I'm for taking care of, like, you take care of people. So if you ever, not just so if you ever need them, but that's because that's what you're supposed to do. Cause you're supposed to belong to your village. You know, I've had neighbors who did more for me than this fucking funeral fallout that come from stuff like this. It becomes a lot of, like, just competing for superficial things that don't matter and just forgetting the bigger picture of it. Like, somebody is gone and they left a legacy behind, you know?
For sure. And I definitely agree. I feel like it's something that Black people need to work through. Like, definitely need to work through. And you have kind of touched on this, but I would like you to go into more detail. My next question for you is, how has the grieving process been? And the reason why I'm asking this is because I understand, like, the part of, like, being a child and, you know, your family and your mom kind of being supportive to y'all. But I think that some people don't understand that the grieving process sometimes never ends. And, you know, like, somebody might be like, oh, well, she was in seventh grade or whatever. Now it's just like, okay, rest in peace. But it's not necessarily like that. So could you, like, explain what that's like?
I feel like it's a person by person thing and how you take things and how you deal with things. Like, I can only speak for myself. I still grieve from time to time. Like, I would some days I would just, like, cry. Some days I still cry, just wake up, like, crying and shit, just because it's just, like, it's still painful. It still hurts. It's like, I didn't even get a chance to, like, show you, like, fuck just showing you, like, all I've accomplished now. Like, how much different would my life have been if you was able to continue to be here, to continue to raise me? I know, like, when I was younger, it's just like, this was when he was, like, alive and stuff. Like, I always was, like, into art, like, actually, like, drawing and painting and building and assembling and stuff. And it catered to that. I've always liked that. And even one of my favorite activities that we did together was just, like, we would sit in the car and we would just, like, listen to music and sing songs. And I just found that what made me and still does, like, helps me get through it is making music and stuff. Just, like, doing it on my own or just, like, kind of just sitting in the car and listening to music. It takes me back to when my life was perfect. I can use the P word. When it was perfect, when everything was going right, when everything felt right, when everything just was peaceful and I didn't have the pain, the ongoing feeling of it. So, like, grieving, like, I never made excuses for why I couldn't do stuff. I never, whatever, but I feel like that was just the motivation for, it was motivation for me because of, you know, he didn't take excuses. He didn't make excuses and he wasn't gonna take none either. It's just like, you know, you are capable of doing everything. You are capable of doing anything. You just need to do it. Point blank, period. Get it done. So grieving for me is just like, you know, I have my up days, I have my down days. I had, especially when I was, like, a teenager and stuff, it's just like, it just becomes more painful because, like, now you're transitioning into an adult. You're trying to figure out what you want to do with your life. And, you know, you might be getting in trouble or you might just be depressed. I spent so many years depressed. I think I stopped being depressed. It wasn't that long ago. Like, I really stopped being depressed when, I ain't gonna say that was the cause of my depression, for like what it was, but I really just really stopped fully being depressed when I turned like 25. Maybe like 25 and a half. Like I just told myself, I'm like, I'm done. Like this is, I'm tired of this. I hate this feeling. Fuck it. We putting our foot on the gas and we going. Cause it's really draining. Grieving is draining, and you're dealing with other people's grieving or however they grieve. You know, I never did drugs or drank or none of that wild, crazy shit that people might slip into, especially like I turned 13 the summer he died. He died in April. That summer I turned 13. So I mean anything could have, you know, I could have went anyway in my life. You know, my grades didn't slip or nothing. I would argue that everything just turned up a notch because I knew something in my mind told me, like, because I was still like in the mindset that my mama was gonna die. Cause I just didn't know. I just was so nervous. So I had it in my mind, like, I have to do good at this because it's just gonna be me and my sister soon. And I gotta take care of my sister because ain't nobody else gonna take care of us. And he always told me, you know, look out for your sister, have your sister back, take care of your sister. Like he always used to tell me that because I was the first child. I'm the oldest one. I gotta, you know, I get hit the hardest because I gotta make you into a leader just in case I'm not here to be the leader, you know? So for me, it's just more like heartbreak than it is anything else for the grieving. Even still to this day, it's just like, look how far I was able to be without you. Imagine how much further I could be if you was here, you know? But you know, you spend a lot of time just with like the what ifs. It's like when Colin Kaepernick got kicked out the league. Like, you don't know if this nigga was gonna get on the field and flop. You just know wherever he stopped at, that's where your last memory it is. It's the same thing with niggas who go to jail. Like, when niggas go to prison, wherever they was when they got arrested, that's where their life stopped. There's nothing else happening after that. They're not talking about shit after that, unless something happened in jail. It's everything that happened before that. So a nigga is in jail in 2020 right now. His mind is in 1996 because that's where his life stopped at. So that's, you know, I got different things to get me through and make me feel better and keep me motivated because it is hard some days. And then some days it's just like, man, fuck it. I'm going as hard as I can because I know I got to make it, you know. So that's how it was for me.
You made a real valid point. Like you said, when you go through something, like, your mind can literally stop there. Like, you literally can be growing physically, your age getting older, but mentally you were still at fucking 7 years old. You were still at 12 until you kind of take the initiative to be like, come on, let me bring myself to speed. Like, let me leave that where it is and, you know, move on from it. And I think that's something that was hard for me to process with death. Like, I get so caught up in the wording, like, okay, well, I'm letting it go. And it's like, no, I can't let the person go, or I'm moving on, I process. And it's like, no, how the fuck you just gonna say you move on and you processed it? Like, to me, that sounds like fuck them, when that's not what it is. It's just, I have life. I have to continue to live. I have make my own legacy. I can't allow this to stop me, because if that's the case, I should have just gotten a casket and just left with them. Like,
that's facts. Oh my goodness. Yo, I'm telling, that's, now that right there is it. Like, you can't, like, the world keeps spinning. You got to keep going. Like, it, everything hit everybody different, but you, like, I'm not going to stop my life. Like, I don't mind being sad, but after I'm done being sad, man, I got to get back to it, because I got plenty of life left in me. And I would just hate to waste it like that. And like you said, it's, I don't feel like it's fuck them, but it's just like, you know, I be telling niggas all the time, you know, my daddy dead. I ain't whatever, nigga. Like, it is what it is, because I can't change it. I can't go back in time. I'm not going to live in the past, because I got shit to do now. And nobody give a fuck when you walk outside the house, bro. That's just for real. Like, I don't know if this is going to be a part of your questions, but it's just like, when you start taking, like, I think like those kind of things, you have to go get some professional help when they start falling into like severe, important things in your life. Like, motherfuckers are really, like, their whole life will collapse off of the circle of life. But turn around, look at the other side of it. Why is your life collapsing? Are you guilty of something? Do you feel grief? Because, you know, everybody don't die on good terms. Everybody not as fortunate as me. And I mean, I got some people I know who are still living with the terrible decisions and paying for their terrible decisions today off of loved ones passing away, off of parents passing away. Mm-hmm. Like, I wish I would have did this. I wish I would have did that. And all this shoulda, coulda, woulda hindsight things. It's like, that's not going to help you. Forgive yourself and keep moving. Because, yeah, I don't know. It's just,
I think that's the major thing. Forgive yourself and keep moving. Like, no matter what it is, it doesn't even have to be because you really, like, you know, some people, they might not have left on good terms. Some people might have, but they just still start to blame themselves, because that's what we do when we don't know how to process things. But literally, forgive yourself and keep moving, regardless if you feel like you didn't mourn correctly, if you threw your life away for a little bit. Allow yourself to move on. Like, grant yourself that grace and peace. You deserve to live longer. You know, like, you deserve to be able to bounce back. And I think that's something that a lot of people struggle with. And I have myself, like, I've been that person that's like, well, damn, I'm having a good day. How the fuck I'm having a good day when somebody I love just died? Like, nope, you can't have a good day. You need to be fucking miserable. And it's like, no, the fuck I don't. I can have a good day. You know, just because I'm having a good day don't mean I love this person any less. Don't mean that it didn't hurt. Like, it's okay. And you just have to literally come to terms with the fact that it is okay. It's okay to move on. It's okay to continue your life, because that's what you're supposed to do. You are supposed to be doing it. Now, not trying to say, like, when somebody dies, just like, fuck it, life goes on. Like, you know, like, no, at that point, I'm worried about you because you're not processing it. You know, you're trying to avoid something at that moment. But it's literally okay. And I feel like people need to know that. So, like, don't let nobody tell you how to grieve. Don't let nobody tell you how to process yours, because everybody processes theirs differently. And so my last question for you is, besides your mother, do you feel like you had the support that you needed to cope, or have the support you need to continue to cope?
I had the support from my aunt. I had the support from one of my aunts. I got plenty of aunts. I got the support from my cousin, who was her daughter. I had the support of my grandmother, even though everybody know my grandma is a hard cookie a lot of the time. She's difficult, but you know what? My grandma had my back, and she was always there. As far as everybody else, I feel like people just kind of got into their own space and they went about their lives, and they didn't, you know, try hard enough. Or they didn't fulfill their promises, or whatever that they said they was gonna do, it never came into fruition. Or if they did try to do it, it was some type of ulterior motive. But ultimately, I feel like everybody else outside of them, and outside of, you know, like my sister and my mama, you just kind of went on and lived your life, and you dealt with things how you want to. It wasn't like we was coming around anymore. You know, I don't really want to go into crazy details about, because those is just other stories for other things, but it's just like, you know, they felt like it was out of sight, out of mind, and I feel like they strangers to this day. Like, I don't know y'all, and we just don't really know each other. So it's like, you know, no hard feelings on my end no more. I had resentment and felt type of ways about these people, and they'll never have my forgiveness for what they did to us. But I found it in myself. I had friends, I had things I liked to do, I had a fantastic relationship with my father, so it wasn't like I had any regrets when he passed away or nothing like that. And yeah, it wasn't, you know, no support outside of that. You know, my mother offered, if we wanted to go get counseling, we could. We didn't go. See, office, you know, if you want therapy or you counseling, like, you got health insurance, go ahead. Like, well, I ain't stopping you. You want to, if you need it, you feel like you need it. But it's just like, you know, that's just not the type of people that we was. Even as children, you know, you raise your children up right, they'll go the right way. Not saying, you know, you can't go any other way, because, I mean, we all make mistakes. But, like, you know, I just found I was stronger than what my circumstances was. And I still am. Just because of what was given to me by both my parents.
I feel that though. And you know, like, I feel like, I know it's going to be so some people, because I'm so pro-therapy, like, no, they needed to go. At the end of the day, I commend your mom for just offering it, you know, like, I feel like maybe being that y'all are her children, maybe if she would have seen that it's like, okay, they need it, they're struggling, then she might have like forced her hand more. But you know, your child at the end of the day, and just offering it is like, okay, it's there if you're comfortable with it, if you want it. Because another thing is forcing someone can go completely left, because someone has to be ready for that. Because in therapy, you open up shit and all of that. And if they're not ready for that, that could be, you could be more worse off. So making a decision to be like, yeah, I'm good on it, and ultimately you ended up good on it, fuck it. You know, you did what was best for you, and I don't have no problem with it, you know, like, shit. And so that was all I had for you. And so I didn't want to thank you for sharing your story and being so open. And I didn't want to open the floor up to you now. Is there anything that you'd like to tell the audience, whether that be like someone that might have just recently lost a loved one, and like a piece of advice, or someone that's wanting to know how to support someone that lost anyone, or anything like that? The floor is yours.
Be a good person, be a good friend, be a good relative. Don't be a pussy hoe, you know, stuff like that. Like, don't put yourself to the side when other people are going through things, and especially with things you don't understand. You know, sometimes all people need you to do is just listen to them, or, you know, if you notice there's something off, you just reach out, or don't be afraid to reach out. Don't let your pride be your poison. Don't, you know, don't feel like it's the end of your life or the end of your world because something bad happened to you. You know, I don't know, really anything. You know, be a good person. You know, a good person here is a good person everywhere. A lot of times, strong people are strong everywhere. I think that's a Marcus Garvey quote. Not sure about that. You can Google that.
Listen, listen, listen. Nah, seriously. Thank you for listening to Thou Must Cope. But I'm gonna need you to do a little something. Subscribe, follow, whatever the hell, so you will not miss another episode. And then also give me your feedback. You know how you go to the grocery store, you go to get fast food, and they be like, please do the survey. Okay, no, I've become that woman. Rate me. Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you can rate me at, go ahead, rate the podcast, leave a comment, shit, do something. And also, if you go to anchor.fm/thoumustcope, you can also send me a voice memo. Give me some feedback, and I promise I'll add it to one of the episodes. Peace.